like that part of that song where it says, when I told him I was through, but he didn't rebuke me. I don't know if I'm the only one here tonight that's ever said, I'm through. But sometimes, you know, not only do you have physical pain, but sometimes there's pain in your soul.
Right.
And there's just feeling of anguish and pressure. And that song's got a lot of truth in it. You can just get to a place of grace, just a place where just you and him, a place where he can heal, a place where he can restore, a place where just you and him, an intimate place. What a blessing. We heard a couple of times this morning, folks asked us, said, I heard you resign, preacher. Is that true? I ain't kidding. I was asked that a couple of times today. I don't know if y'all know something I don't, but I said, well, that's not true. And they said, well, there's some other churches that are reporting that and praying for Bethel that their pastor Darren, preacher Darren Walters, has resigned down there. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you pray for us. Oh, man, maybe I will. Lord hadn't laid anything like that on our heart, and that's news to us. We've heard that, and but I don't know how sometimes things like that get said. I've not even discussed it lately. Have you? That's a loaded question, by the way. Amen. Speaking of that, I want to preach on swords tonight. You have your Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 22. Amen. Feel led to preach on two swords. And when people asked me, they were being serious, they were really upset about it, you know, that they hadn't heard about it from me. I said, well, that's usually a pretty good indication that it ain't true. You didn't hear about it from me. They thought maybe I might have done it on a Wednesday night or something. I said, that'd be just about like you to pull some stuff like that on a Wednesday night. Well, so what that does, here's what it does. It puts the word out that Bethel's down there and they're weak and they're wobbling and they're waffling around. And anybody that thinks about visiting says, well, I ain't going down there. There must be some kind of problem for the preacher to be leaving. See, the old devil tries to get stuff like that stirred up.
Right.
Try to keep people from coming. Amen. Because I'm telling you. And to me, it's just an indication that the devil's getting concerned.
Right.
So y'all better watch him.
Amen.
He's getting concerned again.
Amen.
And he's going to try to start something.
Amen.
He's already started that. That ain't going to work. Okay, so he's going to have to pick something else. And he's going to pick it.
Yeah.
He's going to pick it. And you just better be ready for it. You hear it, you just laugh and say, well, all I can tell you is, preacher said, that ain't true. He ain't resigned. We're still praying for him. And he seems like he's perfectly content as far as I can tell. So, in fact, I ain't even had no discussions with any other churches. I don't know. I have no idea where that would even come from. So, the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse number 35. Preacher, does that make you mad? No, that don't make me mad at all. Amen. They're leaving somebody else alone. I like that. If you would stand with me tonight, Luke 22:35. They said a whole lot worse about me, y'all, than I was going to leave. A whole lot worse. That don't hurt me at all. Luke 22:35. To me tonight, then to you all, this probably going to be boring, like I usually bore you. But to me, these verses tonight that we're going to be looking at, to me are a little bit exciting because I don't know anything about them. And I've tried to study them a great deal over the last few weeks to try to get discernment and understand more about it. And I might have just a smidgen, but I don't, if you can help me with this after I'm done preaching, honest, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'd like to know. I'd like to know your thoughts. And some of you all folks have forgotten more than I'll ever know. And I'd like to know. I'd like to pick your mind, pick your brain sometimes, pick your heart about what the Scripture says. Luke 22:35. He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Now let me stop there long enough to say, remember he sent out the 70. They went out and he said, I don't want you to take purse. I don't want you, in other words, no provisions on your own. I don't want you to take scrip. I don't want you to take shoes. You just go out and you be my witnesses. The 70 went out just like that. Didn't have anything to provide themselves. And while they were out, he said, while you were out, did you lack for anything? And they said, nothing. We didn't lack a thing. Ain't God good?
Amen.
He sends you out and he'll provide. Amen. He'll give you the words to say. He'll bring the scriptures that you've studied. He'll bring them right back to your heart. And then he said unto him, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise his scrip. And let he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Well, that's interesting. Let him go buy a sword. A garment, go buy a sword. Sounds like to me, preacher, he's getting ready to get in a fight. Maybe he's going to defend. Maybe he's going to offend. Maybe he's getting ready to take the kingdom. Maybe that's what it's trying to say. The disciples are taking this in. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. He was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. In other words, what's been prophesied about the Messiah, the Christ, they have an end. In other words, they're going to be fulfilled, what he's trying to say. Just what the Bible says, God's as good as his word. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. Quickly, disciples must start looking around amongst themselves and said, he says we can get swords now. We can start going out on the offense. They started searching amongst their stuff and they had two swords there. And he said unto them, it is enough. These verses are very puzzling to me. Very troubling. We kind of aim to preach tonight on things we don't know a whole lot about. Then again, we kind of always do. We don't know anything about the grace of God, not much. Not His mercy, nor His forgiveness. I told them at the tabernacle when I got to preach there the other morning, I said, everybody knows what a terrible preacher I am, and they let me give a demonstration every Sunday and Sunday night at the church to prove it to them again in case there's any doubt. So tonight we look at a thought where they said, here are two swords. I'm interested in, what are those two swords? Well, preacher, it's obvious they're swords of iron that are laying there. I think it's deeper than that. I couldn't find one commentary that dealt with this subject. So I went right to the source, the Word of God, just to find out what it says about two swords. So let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask, God, that you would help us to stand and preach with authority, with power. I pray you'd do this through the Holy Spirit in me. Now, God, tonight I've told them already, don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about really ever have preached. Know I'm saved. I know you call me to preach. And I know the Word of God is true and infallible. But God, it's too deep for me to ever explain. So, Lord, I know the Holy Spirit's going to have to do this tonight, for I cannot. I pray, Lord, tonight you would help us. God, make preaching easy, I pray. Help us to understand. Lord, I pray tonight, God, in this congregation, you'd help us to be interested in these two swords. And I think they have meaning tonight. Show us what they are, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. I've said about all I can say, and I'm going in over way over my head. Seems like somehow I live there. Two swords. I'm reminded immediately that I know about one of those swords. The Bible says something about one of those swords down in verse 47. Remember, Jesus had went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went out there and he began to pray, and he came back, checked on his disciples, and they were asleep, and he spoke to them a little bit, and he went back to pray again, he came back to check on them, they were asleep still, he went back to pray again, he came back again, the disciples had gone back to sleep again, they slept right through prayer meeting, in fact a lot of us do, warm in here tonight, ain't it? Times got moved up on us last night, preacher might preach an hour, it'd be a good time to sleep. Well, Jesus in verse 46 comes back to his disciples and said, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? They'd heard what Jesus had just said. If you have not a purse, you need to take it. If you don't have a scrip, you need to take it. If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and get one. And so here comes Judas and this multitude to take Jesus. And the disciples try to interpret what Jesus was meaning and immediately said, Lord, shall we smite him with the sword?
In other words, let's take things into our own hands and begin to take the kingdom like the Messiah is going to take the kingdom. They thought, finally, the power that we need to take the world, the kingdom, is here. Jesus answered and said, look with me, shall we smite the sword? Verse 50, one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Didn't even wait on Jesus to answer, just went ahead and started hacking and chopped off the high priest servant's ear. Whop! Lopped that thing right off on the ground. Well, Jesus answered and said, suffer ye this far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Jesus wanted to make sure that he didn't hurt those that were opposing him. He didn't do anything to his enemies. We realize that this first sword that we see here is in the hands of one named Peter. Simon Peter, in fact. He's going to get into flesh. He has a sword. It is a physical sword, but he has a sword of the flesh. And immediately he begins chopping and hacking with his possession. In fact, when they said, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? They didn't even wait on the Lord to answer. They just proceeded. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of the preacher who came home one night and told his wife, he said, honey, the church up the road is about double the size, double the salary, and they're asking us if we're interested in coming up there to pastor. And she said, what shall we do? He said, I'm going to go upstairs and pray about it. And she said, what can I do? He said, pack. Don't wait on an answer from God. Just go ahead and I'm going to pray that it'll be the will of God. And we'll go ahead and do this. We do that a lot, don't we? Lord, what shall I do? Instead of waiting on Him, we go ahead with our sword of flesh or with our arm of flesh. And we go ahead and begin to proceed. And we make a mistake every time. I'm the only one here that's willing to say, in my arm of flesh, with my sword of flesh, I've jumped too quick, I've jumped to conclusions, I got bent out of shape about things I did not know, I made wrong decisions because I didn't wait on the hear what Jesus had to say, and he couldn't in that present condition, so quickly he touched his ear and he healed him. I'm glad, amen, when the devil comes by and don't want you to hear the word of God, that Jesus can touch your ears and cause you to hear.
Right.
Back one night down at the nursing home preaching in Saluda, preached in perfect English, asked if anybody wanted to get saved. A woman raised her hand, went over to where she was, talked to her, understood what she said, she understood me. She prayed, she got saved, she confessed salvation through Jesus Christ. Getting ready to leave, one of the nurses there, one of the staff said, preacher, who got saved? I heard somebody got saved. I said, is that lady right over there? They said, it's impossible. She only communicates to us in French. She can't understand English. We can't understand French. We're in real trouble. I said, well, la-di-da-da. I just talked to her in English. She understood. I asked her if she understood what I preached. She said, every word. I went back over to her again and with a different, I heard different what she said. She, in broken dialect, basically told me I understood what you said in perfect French. I don't have perfect French in my vocabulary. And I know that night I didn't speak in tongues. Somehow, between what I said and what she heard, he touched her ear
right, and
caused her to hear.
Amen.
See, it's important, the Word of God. I want you to see again about this sword of flesh in John chapter 18, verse number 10. This sword of flesh. This is sword number one, the sword of flesh, I believe. We see it again in verse number 10, John 18. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, there's one of the swords, he drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword. Who owned that sword? Peter. Because he called it thy sword. Put up thy sword into the sheath. In other words, put it back where it goes. Leave it alone. You're misusing it. You've jumped too quick. Put it back in the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink in? You know, Jesus made a statement a little earlier that we read. He said that these things must, in other words, these things must be fulfilled. These things must come to an end. These things must come to a conclusion. All that's written about Jesus, it must. If Jesus says must, that's a half-true situation.
Right.
Amen? So we see here that Peter, he's got this sword, and he's cut off the high priest's ear. Got to thinking about that old sword of flesh. Did you realize that the sword of flesh, for Job, in his day, a sword of flesh came, and the Sabians took all of his oxen, all of his sheep, and they took all of his servants, and they slew his servants with a sword. It was a sword of flesh. What about James over there in the book of Acts chapter 12? When Herod took one of the disciples, the Bible says that he cut off his head with a sword. That's a sword of flesh. What about Jerusalem? Matthew chapter 21. And the Lord told them that one day the sword will come to Jerusalem. And surely, in Herod's day at least, that came to pass, did it not? As millions of Jews were slaughtered, killed. Today, they still are one of the most hated people on the face of the earth. And even back in Jesus' time, some 60 years later, many of Jews were put to death by the sword. It was a sword of flesh. Certainly, you can look today and see a lot of things in crime where people have stabbed people. I ain't never been stabbed. I hope I don't never get stabbed. But I've been backstabbed.
Amen.
Amen.
You have too.
Right.
Amen. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So you can see that that old physical sword, that sword of the flesh, it can do a lot of damage. It can claim life. Over here in Matthew 26, we read this account again. Still on the first sword. It's not only a sword of flesh, but I believe it's a sword of the law. Sword of the law. The law cannot save you. A sword will not save you. It'll separate you. Cut you right in two. And when you and I sin, we break the law, and the law separates us from the Holy God. Again, verse 51, behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And this is something that's out of the Old Testament. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. So basically, this first sword is not only a sword of the flesh, but it is a sword that represents the law. Could you see that? Read this next verse. He said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He said, Peter, you think you're going to save me with a sword of the law? You think you're going to save me with a sword of the flesh? Don't you realize that I could call 12 legions of angels down and deliver me? I don't need you boys to deliver me. I am in my Father's hands. And it's a very safe place to be. A legion, they think, is about 6,000 foot soldiers. That'd be 72,000 angels. He could have quickly called down to deliver him. But old Peter said, I'm not going to wait on 72,000 angels. I'm going to deliver with my sword.
Yeah.
Boy, you think you're something, don't you? So quick to jump on things. Hey, it'll be better done and better served if it's in the hands of God. Amen. Just wait on him, amen? Again, we see that truth about the sword of the law. Now, I said something about being backstabbed. Over here in Psalm 57. Psalm 57. We realize that Jesus was falsely condemned. They had some folks they hired or that they paid off to say false things and accuse him falsely. And through the test of time, there have been numerous folks who've had folks that accused them falsely. I want to say that you better be careful about the sword of the flesh. Reacting too fast. Trying to deliver yourself. But there's also still first sword of the flesh, sword of the law. Verse 4, Psalm 57. My soul is among lions. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be. And I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. You realize your tongue can be a sharp sword?
Amen.
Never forget, Brother Mays Jackson went out to dinner with about 20-some preachers at the steakhouse. And you can imagine how long the table that would take to sit on the preachers. And he was sitting there talking to those that were around him, and he started picking up on a conversation where someone's voice began to get higher and higher and higher as they were getting excited. And he started listening from where he was at one preacher telling another preacher about what a sorry individual that another preacher was. Run that mouth. Well, look how quiet it gets. And Brother Mays, they came out with the food, and he listened to it for a while. He acted like he wasn't, but he was picking up on it. They brought all the food out, and they put all of it down there at everybody's place and had them their teas and their beverage he's ever going to drink. And Brother May said, Brother down there on the end, you that's been down there talking, how about you leading us in grace before we partake of this meal? And he said, you never heard such beating and stammering in all your life. He couldn't pray. You know why? He wasn't in a position to pray. He'd just been running on his neighbor with his silver tongue, cutting him and slicing him, up, dicing him just like a sword. You know how quick a sword can cut you? I mean, it can do damage in a hurry. Just as quick as a sword could cut your body, penetrate your skin, sever your flesh, cut your fingers off, your toes off, penetrate your body and kill you, your silver tongue can murder someone with a sword that's behind your feet. God thought it very important that you keep your tongue in check. He thought it so important He set a seal of lips in front of them, front of it, to keep it from talking too much. And then not only that, but he fixed it to where it's got a double protector, a set of teeth to go in front of it. I like a good set of teeth, don't you? Hey man, to keep them teeth closed and the lips closed and keep that tongue in. Yeah, man, preacher, I like this message on swords. And I want you to know that if you ain't real careful, when you begin to run that sword and do damage to somebody else's testimony, you'll hear the Holy Ghost say, put your sword back up in its sheath.
Amen.
If I want to judge somebody, I'm able to do it. Oh yes, He is a holy and a righteous judge. Preacher, I don't think I like where this is going. Well, let's think about Peter. He had a sword, and he chopped off Malchus, the high priest's servant's ear. Sword of the flesh. Sword of the law, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Okay? Luckily, old Peter there, he's going to learn a valuable lesson. And the Lord was able to heal this Malchus, the high priest's servant, and put his ear back on. But now hear this. Peter also was pretty quick at speaking his mind. And in the heat of the moment, warming himself by the devil's fire, they said, hey, don't you know that Jesus fell that's on trial? No, I don't know who he is. Wait. Hey, you was with him. In fact, I'm kin to Malchus. You chopped off his ear just last night. Oh, bless God, no. I don't know Jesus, and I wasn't even there when that took place. Now listen. Your speech betrayed you. You're a Galilean. You're one of them. And he began to curse. His sword got out of its sheath again.
Right.
And he began to run his mouth and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you don't use sword number one.
Amen.
Bible says, here are two swords. You got a choice to make.
Right.
More than likely, we'll use sword number one. If the first thing that comes to our mouth will speak things that we can't even, he'll write checks we can't cash.
Amen.
Amen. What about sword number two? Well, while you're hearing the Psalms, let's read Psalm 44. Sword number two, Psalm 44. Now, let me say this. I looked at the scriptures. I run all kinds of references. I could not find that second sword. It was not there. Here are two swords. Peter had one. Maybe the other was his tongue. I don't know. But who's got the other sword? Is it Andrew? Probably not. Is it James? Don't think so. What about John? Obviously not. What about Bartholomew? Maybe Thomas has got one. He doubted everything. Maybe Thomas is ready to take things now. But I don't know. Bible doesn't say who's in possession of that second sword. Doesn't say. Preacher, you want to preach something you presume this? I'm just preaching with you what the Lord gives me. I don't know about that other sword. But somehow I just can't help but think that that other sword was standing right there in front of them in one name, Jesus. He is the sword of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In Psalm 44, verse number 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, speaking of the Lord, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Think on these things. Just stop and meditate. You know, we're not delivered by sword number one. The law won't deliver us. The flesh won't deliver us. Our tongue surely won't deliver us.
Amen.
We're delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to present to you tonight one named Jesus, who is the sword of the Lord. You go over to Joshua chapter 5. I want to read something to you. What John saw on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation. We'll come back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5 and read just a couple of verses together. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. You know, it said a whole lot about the Lord. It said he had his head, his hands were like white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. In all these pictures you see of Jesus where he's got brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes. John saw a different Jesus. He saw one with red eyes, flaming like fire. He didn't see a brown-haired or a black-haired Jesus, no. He saw one with hair, white as wool. That ain't the picture you see when you see pictures of the Lord. But when you look at the Word of God, that's the picture you see. The Bible says that his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. I believe there's sword number two. It's the Lord. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan there, and they've come to a city named Jericho. It's a walled city. It's bigger than them. The people that live there are greater than them in number. The Jews don't know anything about fighting. They don't know anything about the sword of flesh, the sword of the law, the sword of... they don't know anything about delivering by the sword. Now, they've been servants in Egypt. That's what they know. They know how to farm down there in Egypt. They know how to serve a Pharaoh. But they don't know anything about warfare. Verse number 13, I'm sure old Joshua was wondering, what are we going to do? Got a bunch of untrained people. They don't know anything about capturing a city. They don't know anything about taking a city for the glory of God. Nothing about our church. I don't know anything about building. A lot of y'all do, but I don't know anything about it. I've been wearing my head, but look here, what old Joshua didn't know. It came to pass, verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. You see that? There's a man standing over there with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Must have been some kind of a looking dude. Joshua said, man, are you with us or are you against us? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Who's he talking to? I believe it's the pre-incarnate Christ. I believe he's standing out there with the sword saying, hey, I'll take that city. I'll capture it and give it to you. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Didn't say served him. Didn't say read a few verses about him. He worshiped him.
Amen.
He's not worshiping an angel. He's worshiping Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the one with the sword. Here are two swords in the New Testament. One, the sword of the law, the sword of the flesh, the sword of the tongue. Number two, the other one, I believe, is the sword, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, baby. Here he stands there. And Joshua fell to the earth and worshiped and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy.
Amen. Amen.
You don't just come to it in your way. Phase one, y'all, it protects me, protects you. It's not a sword of the flesh. No, no, it's not a sword of the law. It's not the sword of our tongues. You'll not protect me with your tongue. It'll never work. You know what will protect us? Him.
Amen.
He's our shield. He's our buckler. And he's our sword. Oh, here in the book of Ephesians, we'll quickly study this and we'll let you go. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. A few Sundays ago, the Lord dealt with us about standing. You better be careful when he says you take off your shoes. For the place here, standing is holy ground. He told me I stand here. You better get your shoes off right now and you'll obey it.
Amen.
You may say, preacher, I don't like that. I pray you'd have to make you take your shoes off when you see it. It's like that old preacher that made fun of that boy took off running. He had to go run with him.
Amen.
Hey, man, I'm glad he's here tonight. So we're on holy ground. Amen. You may say, we're not in that sanctuary over there. Hey, this is holy ground. Where he is, it's holy ground.
Right.
In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Here are two swords. You can run that mouth. You can say you're going to be delivered by your flesh or by the law. But I'm going to say the sword is the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what the living epistle of the Word of God is? It's Jesus.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. Amen. Word was God and the Word was with God. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, we were asked this question in the tabernacle. When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible said His face, that it shined like the sun, or it basically outshone the sunshine. And that from the inside out, He shone out. The glory that was within Him began to be exposed. I wonder if we looked at your insides, what we'd see.
Yeah.
We'd see your thoughts. We'd see the intents of your heart.
Yeah.
God help, we'd be in the mess if you saw mine. And the Word of God, knowing all these things, is able, the Bible says, is able to pierce and divide the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You take a surgeon. They'll go in there with a scalpel. And they'll have a little sign on the door that says, employees only. Children ain't allowed to run around in there. Why? Because he's doing heart surgery or whatever is necessary. And he divides maybe a tissue from tissue. And very delicately, he may work on the back and be very close. One slip could paralyze. One slip could cut an artery and sever it and cause one to die. And in that doctor's hand, it looks like, why a lot of them get a God complex, it looks like he has the power of life and death. But I want to tell you what, the Word of God is even greater. Because the doctor can only sever tissue, but the Word of God can sever soul and spirit. And can divide all these things. No doctor can tell you what your thoughts are. No doctor can tell you what's in your soul or what your spirit or your countenance may be. But the great physician can, which is Jesus Christ, the sword of God, the Word of God. Can I think about the first time the word sword is in the Word of God? The first time. The book of Genesis. Very important to see this. Book of Genesis chapter 3. First time it's mentioned. Adam and Eve have got off in sin. They have failed God. They have not kept His commandment. What have they partaken of? They have eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told them, you're not to eat of that tree. You know what else is in that paradise of the Garden of Eden? The tree of life was there. They could have partook of the tree of life and lived forever. But instead, they wanted the tree of knowledge. Isn't it amazing how nowadays everybody wants a preacher to go to school? Everybody wants somebody to have knowledge. They're going to teach you, take you off on your job and train you this and train you that and give you this, train you this. And it's all about knowledge. And here the devil says, listen, God's not really man of His word. He says don't partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but He didn't really mean you was going to die. So guess what they did? They took of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and they got in sin. Well, we turn down to verse number 22 of Genesis 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Preacher, that's deep. Hear me. Adam and Eve were told not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what they partook of. And because of that, they sinned, and God sent them out of the garden. He said they might eat of the tree of life while they're in this garden. Now they've sinned. You know what sin does? The wages of sin is death. If they're in sin and they eat the tree of life, they'll live forever in sin. That's an eternal separation from God. And God said, I'm not willing that they would partake and live forever in sin. Therefore, I'm going to drive them from the Garden of Eden. And He did, to till the ground. And at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, He put cherubims, in other words, angelic spirit beings, with a flaming sword, so that no one can enter back into that garden. Preacher, don't you think if it's on earth, we'd have seen it this day? Somehow the Lord's got it protected, and you and I will never see what God protects. But now get this, He has given us another tree of life. A precious cross. And He said, if you'll look to that tree, my Son hanging from that tree, His blood shed because of your sin, if you look to Him, you'd live. I'll take your sins and forgive them of the shed blood of Calvary, and you might live forever through that other tree of life. Amen. Thank God for the sword of God that was hanging on that tree.
Amen.
Bless His name. The last time I see sword in the Word of God, and we'll close, is in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. I don't know if I'm making any sense up to you. Awful quiet. Two swords. Here are two swords. One is a sword of flesh. By faith, the other is the sword, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Genesis chapter 19, after we've been raptured, after the tribulation's taken place, somebody said, I don't believe. I don't believe that there's going to be a tribulation after the rapture of the church. I believe the church will go through the tribulation. You're wrong, friend. It is not in the Word of God that way. Misinformed. Noah didn't have to go through the flood. God made a way for him to sail through in safety. Amen. And the church will be lifted out likewise. In Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, verse 11. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Sound familiar? And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, that's you and I, friend, followed him upon white horses. Somebody said, there ain't no animals in heaven. Where do you think them horses come from?
Yeah.
Last time you see him on earth, he was riding a little donkey. Now he's riding a white horse. He does a little horse trade, didn't he? We're riding a white horse coming right behind him. We're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go with me down to verse number 19. I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. There they are at the valley of Armageddon. There's some that are depending on the sword of flesh to fight him that has the sword of the Spirit. And the beast was taken, praise God, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Just one person, Jesus, slayed all them millions and millions of people with just one sword. Now Peter took his sword and he hurt Malchus, chopped off his ear. It's all the damage he could do. Tell me, they'd have killed him just like that. He'd been over. Basically, Jesus stepped in and saved him. Bible says, slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Go back with me to our original text. Let's read something. Luke 22, verse 38, as we close. And they said, Lord, here are two swords. I don't know if James or somebody else had that other sword, but I know Peter had the sword of the flesh. Here are two swords. Maybe they knew the Lord was that sword. And they thought, well, now we're going to go our way, do it our way. And he said unto them, it is enough. Two swords, it's enough. They thought they could take the kingdom with two swords. Let me tell you what. When he said it's enough, what he means is, he being that sword is all you need.
Right.
He's enough.
Amen.
You don't need to run the sword from your mouth, back by. You don't need that sword in your flesh to try to solve your own problems and fight your own battles. You don't need the sword of the Lord or the sword of the law. What you need is the sword of the Lord, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Here's two swords. Jesus said, it's enough.
Right.
And you know what? I say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's enough. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for the holy ground on which we stand. Lord, when we look tonight and realize that you're all the sword we need, you're the captain of the host. When we're in battle, Lord, you said you'd fight for us. We may have to stand in the battle, but it's a fixed fight. You're going to fight it for us. Well, I'm glad tonight that the cross is enough. I'm glad that the sword that proceeds from your mouth, which is the Word of God, it's enough. It is too wonderful for me to think on. Lord, I don't understand a whole lot about it, how that just your Word can slay so many. But I believe it's entirely true. And Lord, I thank you tonight that Jesus is enough, and yea, He is more than enough. Lord, I pray, God, that when we see two swords, the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right to a man. And the Lord told us there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And we need to choose that narrow way.
Yeah.
Lord, tonight there's two swords. We need to choose the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for this study tonight. Pray, God, we'd be encouraged. To have Jesus on our side means everything. We ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.